don't go to the top. Go on LinkedIn and connect with the people who are just below and talk to them and get their insights, because they're the ones that are invested in change.
Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of The Bliss Project, three-time fitness world champion, fitness expert, and cover model turned self-love junkie, lifestyle entrepreneur, and author. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a thought that will help you bust through your fears, connect to your soul, and get focused and clear so you can elevate your life, business, and relationships. We don't wait until we're ready for someone to tell us we're good enough. We take what we want and we anoint ourselves. Get ready to earn, own, and unapologetically rock your happiness every single day. Are you with me? Here we go. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. It's time for another quickie because there's always time to fit in inspiration. And today I have a guest on with me with this show. I wanted to make sure we got her on before the holiday season because she actually gives you a really epic coupon if you guys are looking for some holiday gifts. And you guys know that wine is my favorite gift to receive, hence the company that I'm starting. So I wanted to have her on not only because of that, but because she gives some really great advice for the current environment in the world and how to pivot and pick yourself back up. So Marian Leitner-Waldman is the co-founder and CEO of Archer Roos Wines, founded with her husband, David Waldman, co-founder of Pheasant's Tears Winery. Archer Roos is a modern wine company that brings terroir-driven wines to consumers with a rebellious spirit. Their wines have been served at James Baird award-winning restaurants, boutique hotels, hip rooftop bars, and they've been recognized by wine enthusiasts 750, CNBC, Forbes, and the Washington Post for their quality and sustainable formats. Marian holds a BA from Johns Hopkins University in international relations. She is a Mass Challenge finalist and a Babson Breakaway Challenge finalist, and recognized by the Boston Harbor Angels as one of the top entrepreneurs of the year. While Archer Roos has operations in four countries, Marian lives in Boston, South End, with her husband, their son Lawson, and their dog Flashman. Okay, let's get started, guys. Marian, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, Lori. It's so great to connect with another female entrepreneur. And I have to say, I really loved your product.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I loved yours too. That's so funny. That was like one of the first things I wanted to say. I'm like, it was really good. And what's so funny is I had brought it with me like right when I had got it. We were going somewhere in the RV and I was like, see, this is why everything needs to go to a can, because it was like so great and easy and gorgeous too, by the way. I loved it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you liked it.
Yeah, just beautiful. So I think I have just a couple left that I'm just, you know, next RV trip. But it's not just for that. It's for all the time. So yes, this is so cool, you guys, because I got connected to you through a friend. And I think I just want to point that out right from the beginning is if you guys are building anything, like the power of just being so open and not afraid to ask people if they know anyone or, you know, if there's any connections, because you were just like such a breath of fresh air amongst me talking to so many different people to just like be really real. And also just like, hey, you know, this is what it looks like and you're going to keep going and this is how it feels and it's hard, but it's doable. And that was so powerful for me. So I kind of want to go back to that place for you. Number one, you know what I want to start with? I want to start with the idea, because I think that's powerful for people to hear, is the tipping point of ideas and like what made you just decide to go through with it. First of all, let's talk about where did this come from? Like, when did this thing start, you know, coming up for you and your husband thinking that you wanted to do this? And then what was the tipping point for you?
Absolutely. So for those of you who don't know, I'm the founder and CEO of Archer Roos Wines. And so we bring wines, we produce wines around the world from the world's most celebrated wine regions, and we bring them to you in formats that fit your lifestyle. So cans, magnums, kegs, you yes. name it. and our whole thing is all about bringing transparency and sustainability to the wine industry. So this idea is really personal to me. It actually started around our dining room table. My husband and I love to entertain people, and we really feel that like there is nothing more powerful than bringing people together over a glass of wine. It sort of has this hourglass effect where people just kind of let their guard down and you're given this great space to connect. And so we love wine and we love the wine industry. And we were talking, we had a couple of friends over that night who were actually working for two little startups that you may have heard of, Warby Parker and Harry's. And we were talking about how there's this wider revolution in like consumer product goods today, like where consumers want to cut out the middleman and they want to know the stories behind these products that they use every day. And I realized that there are great brands that were built in spirits and in beer, but that there really was no kind of equivalent in the wine industry. Instead, you had super high-end brands that, you know, were special occasion $100 bottles that also were kind of intimidating to buy. And then there was cheap things that you didn't really like on the other end and that you didn't know what was in them and were often kind of manipulated in the lab. So what we set out to do was reimagine what a wine company could look like and to reimagine that company's supply chain so that we could go to these celebrated wine regions, produce our wine, tell you the whole story of how the grape was grown, how it ended up in your glass, and bring you this wine that is made with low interventions, no additives, and dangerously delicious. And in a format where if you just want to have a glass of wine, great. And if you didn't, you know, there was none of that barrier of having to open up a bottle of wine. But that is kind of how the idea started. You asked a very different question, which was, what was the tipping point? And for me, that tipping point, so I was working at the World Bank at the time. I had a day job. We had built out the business plan. My husband was in business school. We were sort of flirting with this idea. I really wanted to do it, but I didn't really have the guts to go for it. And my mom actually got diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. And I really went through this period of reflection around what, how did I want to live my life and how did I want to spend my time? And I knew that I really wanted to build something. And I was really passionate about our Trurus, and I figured that I better give this my all, because if I was going to work really hard during the day and travel and do all that stuff, I wanted to do it for something that I loved, because we don't know how much time we have left. And I wanted to do something that mattered to me.
Wow. So resonating with that, I think that's so important for people to hear, is sometimes it's completely different than like, is this a great idea? Will this make a lot of money? Will this, it's kind of like, what is that? The most successful people I've talked to are the people who are like, you know, it was just something I was passionate about and it was important to me and it was fun. And if I'm working hard anyway, why not do it on something that I'm obsessed with? You know, that's fun, following the energy. So did you ever have that the moment where you were like, okay, you know, we're doing something a little bit different, and then you realize when you start getting into it, maybe why a lot of people haven't been doing that thing? Did you run into like, oh, maybe that's why people haven't done this, like those challenges? What were some of those for you?
Oh my God, there's so many. So I think first of all, you know, understanding what a lot of people don't realize is that there's something called the three-tiered system in alcohol, and it goes back to prohibition. And it basically, in after we repealed prohibition, the Congress wanted to break up the mob's control on alcohol. So they basically said that you couldn't own the means of production, aka like make the wine, the means of distribution, so like literally drive the wine to a means of retail, which is like the bar and restaurant. And what they kind of created was this big barrier of entry that we now call distributors. And what's interesting was that like everybody who, all these customers or consumers who I talked to about my idea, who I showed my label to, who tasted my wine, loved it.
Yeah.
But the hardest part had been getting these distributors on board with my idea, because they actually prevented or were critical to me being able to bring it to market. Mm-hmm. And that was crazy to me. So that was the first thing, was that really made me realize that there was the market was really dislocated. It wasn't actually built for consumers. It was built for these decision makers.
Yeah.
And these decision makers set up a push mentality instead of a pull. And that was frankly, Lori, it also kind of was my dig in the heels moment of, this is why I want to do this. Mm. Because I want to build something for consumers. I want to build something for women like me. Mm. And it can't exist under this current system. So now I need to think about a way how to do that better.
Mm.
And so, yeah, convincing distributors, that was a big one. Convincing winemakers, quality winemakers, to put their wine in, you know, to work with me.
Yeah.
And that I wanted to put wine in a can, that blew their mind. And I mean, there's been so many instances along the way. I really think that entrepreneurship is really a lesson in perseverance. Mm-hmm. If you don't have grit, and that's the grit to dig deep and get out of the shower every day, even when you're not sure how you're going to pick yourself off the mat, that's what it's all about.
Mm. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm talking to you today. I found myself wanting to stay in the shower a little way longer than I should, because I'm just like, you know, you have so many, when you get out of the shower, that means it's time to start facing more challenges that feel unsolvable. And I think that's something why it's so nice to talk to other people who are in it right now. And also for us to share this conversation, because I know everybody's either in it or they're about to be in it, just with the challenges. So going back to one of the challenges of, let's just say, you know, you wanted to do it a different way when you were in that dig your heels in moment, when you're like, okay, well, I'm going to try to figure out how to do this. Like, who then do you go to, and what do you try to start doing in order to get this new idea done? What did that look like?
Yeah. So that's when you really have to recognize that you have to have a growth mindset. Mm. Be willing to connect with as many people as possible to learn from them. Mm. So I started reaching out to anybody else who was in my distributor's portfolio who wanted to talk to me. Not a lot of them did. And a lot of them also, the ones that were successful were also invested in keeping things the same way they'd always been.
Yeah.
So I started reaching out to the people who didn't have the top job, but had the job underneath them.
Mm,
and that's
so
actually
smart.
That's where I found where a lot of the answers were, because it was that up-and-comer who, like me, was scrappy, wanted to make their mark in the world, but also wanted to talk up the things that weren't working.
Mm.
And that's where we really started to put this plan together of, you know, all right, we weren't going to, if you want to sell canned wine, you have to figure out who is going to benefit from selling your product in order to get it into the hands of consumers. And so that's when I started pitching my idea, instead of to wine distributors, to beer distributors.
Interesting.
And that's when also we built our direct-to-consumer platform, which you can, we ship to 44 states. But more importantly, what it allows us to do is connect directly to our consumer, so that we can get our product directly into their hands and get their feedback. Mm. And those were really the two. That was kind of our big, like, okay, this is how we're going to get around this. And a really key person in my journey to helping me figure that out was, I met totally by chance. He had picked up my product in a store and reached out to me and was like, I really, you know, I love what you guys are doing. I work for a beer distributor. Let's talk. And he was, you know, that upper middle management who was trying to figure out how to get to the next level.
Interesting.
And I think that that's like my best advice that I can give to people is, like, don't go to the top. Go on LinkedIn and connect with the people who are just below and talk to them and get their insights, because they're the ones that are invested in change.
Oh, such good advice. I think so often we're like, oh, well, you know, we'll reach out to this person or we get shut out, right? And we're like, oh, they're too busy. I'll never get that. And that's not the case at all. Now that it's funny because my sister-in-law is in HR and she does a lot of like hiring and recruiting. And she's always just telling me all of these, you know, different, like how much you don't realize that even though people are somewhere, they're always looking. She's like, no, no. They're literally always looking for opportunity and always kind of like out there. And you're the next opportunity, right? And that's the thing that we don't realize when we're new is that you might be someone's next opportunity for them to grow, just like what you said. So I think it's like a perspective shift in who you are, right? Like, did that switch your perspective of what you were?
100%. Mm. And really forced me to also, it's a mentality that I've now taken as I've built out my team.
Yeah.
Like I played, you know, high school sports and I was never the best person on the field. But I won the coach's award. And that's because I always like to play with people better than me. Mm. And I think that's so important too, when you're starting your own business is looking for those hungry people, but also finding those people who are smarter than you that you can learn from and taking that mentality into every interaction, every meeting that you have, because they'll push you to be a better person.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy when that happens? I'm actually finding myself in this place of like, okay, you know, bringing on this, this next hire that I'm going to do is like a hire that will be far superior to anything I've ever dealt with or done, or like they will be far more knowledgeable than me in a lot of regard. And it's that moment of like, oh shit, like they're going to hold me to a really high standard. And thank God, like at the same time, like I'm nervous for it because I know they're going to come in and be like, okay, we got to get the show on the road. And I think it's easy to kind of like maybe choose somebody to where you think you're at instead of choosing someone who's like where you want to be going. So how did you, were you able to like, did you have the budget for that? Or did you have to stretch? And did you hire that person for where you wanted to go? Or what did that even look like?
When I was starting to build my team?
Yeah.
God, I made so many errors.
Same.
I wish I could sit here and say like every person I've hired has worked out and been perfect. And that's just not the case. Mm. And part of it is that like, you have to recognize how much you have to grow as an individual and learn on the job. Like you're not coming to this with a lot of answers, particularly when you're building something that no one's ever built before. Then you're still figuring out what is it that you need. Mm. And I had no money. I mean, the money that we used to start Archer Roos, I was going to go to business school. My husband had gotten a scholarship. So between the two of us, we had some decent money saved. And that's how Archer Roos got off the ground.
Yeah.
So like, we had no money and I ended up being like a solo operator for the first two years. And then the first people that I hired, one of them is still with me. She's awesome. And some of those people were disasters and aren't still with me anymore.
Yeah.
But what happens is that I think there's two things that have to happen. One is that you need to become self-aware as a manager and as a leader about what your strengths are and your weaknesses are. And then you have to be willing to not pay yourself or like really take a discounted salary, like take the absolute minimum and invest that in the people that you hire and stretch and give up equity, give up whatever you have to do to get the right talent in the door. And that's what I ultimately did. I'm so in love with my team that I have now. They are really, really wonderful. And I learn so much from them every day. And I get so energized by who they are. But you have to recognize that like, you cannot row a boat alone and win the race.
Yeah.
You have got to build a world-class team. And so you have to do whatever you can in order to get there.
Wow. That is, you know, even just looking back on other businesses I've built in the very beginning, it was a disaster. And I think I could have saved myself a good, I think it was 3 to 4 years if I would have just hired the person who intimidated me or stretched me or having to spend more money and saved myself those 4 years rather than kind of hiring for, you know what I mean? Like piecing it together, kind of getting the deal, like paying the salary that felt like attainable and maintainable. And I look back and I'm like, years of what felt like potentially wasting money, but it was the best lesson ever. Hopefully people can hear both of us right now and go, Got it. I now know what to do. Yeah. So tell me like what the, first of all, I want to know like the most challenging part, like that wall kicking, want to throw in the towel. I know there's thousands of those moments, but did you have a big one that really stands out to you where you're like, wow, like, you know, maybe I really want to quit, or this is one of the hardest things we've gone through. Or I can't believe that this happened, where you just kept going.
Yeah. It's really an emotional one. Mm. It's still quite raw for me. Mm. So 2020 was going to be a really big year for me. Mm. Archer Ruse had won a blind taste test against 32 other brands to win a massive contract with JetBlue.
Wow.
So we were going to go national. Our business was on fire. We were like doing super well in bars and restaurants. We just won a big hotel deal and I was going to have a baby. Mm. And my son was born on March 17th, which was I went into labor the day that the Northeast went into lockdown. I came out of labor. I had been raising like my first major fundraise, and one of my core investors, their fund had collapsed. And so I woke up to find that the fund had collapsed. Northeast was in lockdown, that bars and restaurants would be closed. JetBlue, I mean, the airline industry was definitely in a free fall. And then I was like navigating that and figuring out how to be a new mom and managing my hormones as I recovered postpartum. Yeah. And I couldn't take a single day off because my team needed me and we had to figure out what to do.
Wow.
And I was sleep deprived. But the weird thing is like, I don't think I've ever been more exposed and vulnerable, and I've never felt more like I wanted to give up. Wow. And at the same time, like every day I'd get up, or maybe not even every day, but every night or every couple of hours, like I'd look at, you know, when I'm looking at my baby, that was also, I was like, okay, this has got to work because I've invested too much time, money, and energy into it. And it was really hard couple of months. I mean, we had to pivot the company, but we did it. And we're looking at a very strong 2021. We're going to launch in a number of awesome retailers, including Wegmans, which has been a huge get for us. And it was definitely born out of a moment of lying in that hospital bed thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get us out of this.
Oh my God. That literally brought tears to my eyes because it's the expectation hangover, right? Along with just like, that's so beautiful that you shared that, because it's, I think everyone experienced a little bit of what you experienced, and to see how you pivot, right? Like there's always another way. Like there's always a way. It's just that moment of like digging in again and deciding to like, what is this going to mean to you? What are you going to do? Like, what's the next move? That is the biggest, that's the decision-making point, right? Like, what's the next move?
And like in this kind of moment of like crisis, remembering all the things I had to be grateful for. Mm. Like it was definitely an extremely hard spring for me personally, but like I had a roof over my head.
Yeah.
My home wasn't food insecure. Like my baby was healthy. Like, you know, so every day I would get up and I'd say, okay, remember that these things are true.
Yeah.
And if these people who those things are not true for are coping, you are going to find a way to cope. Mm. So part of it too is just like, I think when you really feel like you need to find that strength, it's remembering all the ways that you're lucky.
Mm-hmm. I love hearing your baby like coo in the background right now, because it's just so... No, it's the best. I literally love it. And people hear my dog bark all the time. It's fantastic. This is what I love about just what we're all doing right now. I think it's been a beautiful, while it's been, you know, like you just shared, one of the most challenging years ever, I think it's also been the time of such permission for everyone. Like, you know, I just turned 40 and I want to have kids. And I know that there's going to be a lot of like I'm going to have the same noises in the background. I'm going to have the same challenges. I'm going to face the same things. And in those moments, like those are going to be the things that it's like, what are you grateful for? Like what's going on in your life that you can just really dig into and grab onto? And what's going to be that thing that pushes and propels you forward? You know, and it sounds like you got really, really clear on what those things were. And also just the time that you put into your company and the heart and the soul. What do you think is the difference between you and someone who gives up? Like why are you different? Why do you think you're going to be, I know you know this because I can see it in you, but you know, you will be successful. Like, you know, this will be successful. So what is that difference between, you know, you and someone who decides to let go of it?
I don't know if there is like one thing that I can point to, but the thing that immediately pops into my head was the best piece of advice I ever got in my career. And I think about this piece of advice when I am stuck in my personal life as well as my professional life, so much so that like my husband and I incorporated it into our wedding.
Oh, wow.
which is just remember to chop the wood in front of you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so like literally part of our ceremony was like, we like had a two-way saw and like we sawed it together.
I love that. I literally love it.
Yeah. And it was it's a phenomenal piece of advice. It's so simple. And like, I'm a city girl. I grew up in New York City. Like I literally thought that trees grew up out of the cracks of the sidewalk. Right. And here I was like, as a 22-year-old, and somebody gave me this advice, and it was actually the CEO of a Fortune 500 company that I was working for at the time. And I've carried it with me my whole life because when I'm super overwhelmed, I literally make a to-do list and then I just focus on my to-do.
Yeah.
And I wish I could tell you that I'm like smarter or more talented or whatever than someone else, but I think it's, or that I have more faith or self-confidence, but I really think it's just that when the chips are down, like I can just focus and I can just focus on what's next. And I'd like to think that I have the perspective to remember that I'm lucky to be alive and I'm lucky to have had the opportunities that I've had. And so I've got no excuse to give up. And I have to remember to help others where I can.
Yeah. I mean, if we're being completely honest, I think I'm speaking for everyone when we say we're glad it's not that you're smarter than us and that we could potentially do it too. So it's kind of like, you know, that's so huge. I think for everybody, that's where it gets us, right? Like because I'm noticing it in myself starting something completely new. It's so easy to go down the rabbit hole of all the things you have to do to let that pressure get to you. When really, if you look at your day, you kind of just have to do the next thing and then the next thing. And some days aren't that full of a million things. It's just like, if we could, just like you said, if you can drop in and be like, I'm just going to be present with the things that I have to do, and everything will reveal itself of how it will need to come in that lineup, right? But it's, man, it's that overwhelm that if you let it all come in at once, it will consume you whole. Like
completely.
Yeah. So do you have coping mechanisms around that? Like when you get that moment of like, oh my God, like all the things, and you look at the big picture, what are some of the things that you revert back to?
My relationships, like my friendships are so important. My partner, like, we go for a walk in the woods we live in New England in Massachusetts and we go on a walk every Saturday. And, you know, we have some of our biggest like fights. That's also where we hash things out, but it's also where we get the best perspective. And on weeks when I'm like really at the end of my rope, that's puts me together. Or I also am just a big believer in like, unless you are an actual brain surgeon, it can wait till tomorrow. And so when you just like feel like I have to get this done and I'm, you know, but I'm completely overwhelmed and I'm falling apart, no, you really need to pour yourself a glass of wine and like take a bath and go to bed. And it's just that's what the kinds of things that helped me get through. I wish I could say it was working out and going for a run, but, and that is my 2021 goal, is to exercise more. But for right now, it's just having those people in my life that can help me keep perspective, because, Lori, I'm sure you can appreciate this. A lot of times as women, like I feel, or I have felt like society wants you to be like single and unencumbered, and like, that's when you're going to be your most effective.
Yep.
And as I've gotten older, what I've sort of realized is like, those are actually not the people that you want. You don't want the people who, it's not that you don't want them. It's that if you are somebody that has a lot of responsibility,
yeah,
outside of work, and that also has a deep community that you care about, you should know that like, you don't have to lose yourself in work to be successful, but that these other elements of your life can be harnessed to be a better leader and to be more motivated, and can be your source of strength. And that's, I really think that that's the only reason why 5 years in, I'm still here.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you that that is some of the most powerful, I think, wisdom that you could have possibly shared. And it's from what I've experienced in life, those are universal truths. Like that's so beautiful. And I think it's the life, right? Like it doesn't have to be this or that. It can be and that can be your driver. And it is that. It's like the more things that I've felt value around are the reasons why they are driving me to be, you know, to grow something, is for those people or for those things or that purpose. And I can only imagine that once you had a child, you were even more rooted in that. Like it can seem more complicated, but also I keep hearing from so many women, it's like the thing that actually made them, you know, not give up and keep doing the thing. So,
or even just like, you know, it's so funny because, this is going to make me sound like a terrible mother, but I'm going to share it.
We opened the door. Please share it with us, because we all probably need it.
Yeah. So like, you know, we, at the end of, so yesterday I was having a really stressful day and, you know, lots of fires that I had to put out, and 5:30 came around and I had to feed my kid. And, I was in the middle of a work stream. And so I'm putting this baby in a side chair and getting his thing ready. And I'm still thinking about work And then I'm feeling mad and resentful that I'm like not in front of my computer, you know, getting work done and like starting to rush through it.
Yep.
I sit down in front of him and I start to feed him, and he gives me this crazy smile. And all of a sudden I was like, you know what? The next 60 minutes, you know, when you go through dinner, bath, story, song, bed, like be 100% present, because like it's great for him, but you'll feel good from that.
Yeah.
And you'll come back to work with a fresh perspective. And sometimes that's really hard to do, to be present. And, you know, it did mean that I was like up till like, you know, 11 o'clock last night, getting everything I need to get done. But like, I also felt really energized after the bed, because instead of like going through those motions and being resentful of doing it, like chopping the wood in front of me and just focusing in on this, I then got his energy, right? And like, he started giggling, and suddenly like feeding him was a game, and it got to be this like fun thing. And then when I sat down in front of my computer again, I felt like I was able to do that well too.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And I don't think that's unusual that people are like, dang it, kid, eat faster. Like, we're going to play that game where you pull the spoon back and flip it at their face. Now, exactly. Now, if you shared that, I mean, questionable, but sounds fun.
Just pick up the bowl and just eat directly.
Yeah, you're like, try what mommy tries. Watch
that. Yeah, exactly.
Trust me, I will probably do things like that. But I'll remember you.
Oh, please do. My 8.5-month-old likes to reach for my wine glass. And, you know,
you're like, tempting. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, okay. I'm sure just like all the listeners, fallen in love with you in 30 minutes. That was, I'm so grateful for all of the wisdom that you shared. I would love for you to, like, I would love for us to be able to, you know, help you out with anything that you're up to. So where can we, you know, get your product? How can we find you? Where can we follow you? All of those things.
Oh, that's so nice of you to ask. And I'm so glad to like have had this time to talk to you and be a part of this amazing community you've built, Lori. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So you can find us at www.archeroos.com. We ship across country. We also are on Instagram at Archeroos Wines. And we'd love for you all to follow us and taste our product. And in fact, we've got a discount code running. Right now,
amazing.
Mary Maker 15.
Okay, spell that out for us because we all like a good discount on wine.
Absolutely. It's Merry Maker, Maker 15 for the Christmas season so that we may all be merry. then you get 15% off and $5 shipping on any order. So it could just be our simple sampler pack. Or you could go full case, and then actually the shipping is way for free. So, but I'd love for anyone who's interested to go and check out and try our dangerously delicious canned wine.
You guys, I don't know anybody I've sent wine to who was mad about it. Just saying. Well, I'm so grateful for you. You guys, if you loved this podcast as much as I did, make sure that you go and follow. Let's give the tag one more time on Instagram.
At Archeroos Wines.
At Archeroos Wines and tag them and let her know what your biggest takeaway was. I think that's always one of the biggest gifts that you can give our guests is to let them know how they actually impacted your life. So make sure you give her a tag when you share the podcast and let her know what your biggest takeaway was or your biggest aha. And until next time, you guys, earn your happy. Bye, everyone. Thank you guys so much for spending this time with me on the Earn Your Happy podcast. I am so glad that you stopped by. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love it, that would be absolutely amazing and we would be forever grateful. Also, please leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes and leaving us an honest thought, an honest comment. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It would really help us out on our journey to helping thousands and thousands of people. Until then, don't forget to earn your happy. Thanks again, guys. Bye-bye.